Thank you, Ted, for the introduction. I take it you can hear me? So it is great to be here with you guys today, and I feel at home. Thank you for welcoming me, and thank you for welcoming my mom and friends that have come today, and so it is a pleasure to be here with you guys. I also want to say give greetings to you from the ministry and the church in Ukraine. Sasha Zebrev and his wife, Yulia, they give you greetings, and also Sasha and Ira, another missionary the church helps, and Eric, and like I said, my team, they send greetings, and so thank you for being a part of our lives and our ministries. This morning, I want to use 1 Peter chapter 5 as a text to bring in some stories about Ukraine, and so let me pray that God can use 1 Peter in our lives. I'll pray for us, and then I will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for having suffered for us, Jesus. Thank you for dying and raising again. And thank you that your word has a lot to say about suffering and how we can go through suffering with you. And so thank you for your word. I ask that you'd just speak through me today. In Jesus' name, pray, amen. Our ministry and our team, we want to constantly be cultivating our love relationship with Christ. We want that love relationship with Christ to be the foundation for ministry. And oftentimes for those involved in ministry, you can be so involved in do, that often your love relationship with Christ suffers because you're constantly doing. And so we want the ministry to come about because of our abiding in Christ, because of our spiritual dependence from our relationship with God. And so to promote that to happening, my team and I, we made a decision to spend every team meeting the first hour and a half in prayer. There was a time where we'd have planning and then prayer. We realized we need to have prayer and then the planning. And then also to make that a reality, this love relationship with Christ, every other week we have 3 hours of team Bible study. And this year we've been studying the book of 1 Peter. And so I want to share with you some of my observations from 1 Peter. And 1 Peter, Peter talks a lot about suffering. And I think it's a topic that all of us can relate to, especially this last year. But each one of us has different issues in our lives. And so I think the issue of suffering, especially from Peter's perspective, can really be useful. And let me at first, I'll give you a little background of the book, and also a reminder of about Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it states, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." And so right away we see that Peter is the author. And we see that he's writing to believers in Asia Minor, which would be present-day Turkey. And for these believers, some people say they could be from a Jewish background. Others say they could be from a Gentile background. And but I'm going to say, whether it's Gentile believers or Jewish believers, Peter has something for each one of us in this today. And also interesting, in verse 1 of chapter 1, you know, he talks to him, he says, addresses them as strangers in the world. And then in chapter 2, verse 11, once again, Peter addresses them as aliens and strangers in the world. And so as he addresses them as strangers and aliens, this indicates that the culture, the society that they were living in was really not their home. And so they were at odds with those around them. Odds in the sense that they didn't fit in. Their Christian values did not fit in with those around them. And often we can see, especially in the book of Acts, when Apostle Paul would go to different cities and begin a church, we would see how there would be riots would develop, and also we would see how a lot of the local people would get upset because their businesses would get shut down because there was no one buying things for idols and temples. And so the gospel was impacting society. And so, but here, these believers, they felt out of place. And so I think this is also true for us today. We can feel out of place, and we can feel, whether it's at our workplace or with family and relatives, our values really differ. And also, as believers, our citizenship isn't not only here in the U.S., but our citizenship is in heaven. We're citizens of God's kingdom. And those values are higher than God's, than our values as American citizens. And so that often puts us at maybe at times conflict with those around us. And so these believers here in Asia Minor, they were also experiencing conflict, and they were suffering because of that. And let me do a little reminder of Peter. It's really interesting. If you remember back to the Gospels, there's a time when Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." Jesus said that after Peter rebuked him for showing the disciples that he would suffer, be killed, and raised up. We see that in Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 and 23. Then later in Matthew chapter 26, you can read about how Peter boldly proclaimed, "All may fall away, but I never will." And of course, later that night, Peter denied Christ and fell away. And so I think a lot of these things, we'll say probably Peter also suffered not only physically, which we'll see because he is in prison, but I would say he also suffered a lot, probably emotionally. Think about denying Christ, or being rebuked by the Lord. And so just think about the impact that that would have. And in Acts chapter 5 and 12, we also read about how Peter was flogged and put in prison. And so we can see how in different ways, aspects, Peter suffered. And also in this letter, 1 Peter, he has something for everyone. In 1 Peter, he talks to husbands. He talks to wives. He talks to masters, to servants, elders, young men. And so it seems like no matter who you are, Peter has something in here that will give us hope during times of suffering. In 1 Peter, the word suffering appears 16 times. But along with the word suffering, a lot of times there's grace is in there somewhere, or hope. And so Peter wants us to see how we can have hope during times of suffering. And I'm going to Peter gave us four words of encouragement during times of suffering in chapter 5. And they deal with humility. We can stand firm during suffering by being humble. And secondly, we can stand firm during times of suffering by casting our anxiety on Christ. We can stand firm during times of suffering as we realize that we're in a spiritual battle. And then fourthly, we can stand firm during times of suffering when we realize who Christ is and who we are in Him. So I'm going to touch on those four points in the scriptures, And as I do that, I also bring in stories of the ministry in Ukraine. And as I mentioned that, maybe some of you don't know, but I work with students in Ukraine. I've been in Ukraine since January of 1995 on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. And before going to Ukraine, I worked in the finance office at our headquarters in California, then in Florida. And then in January of 1995, I made the move to Ukraine and have been working with students. But here, I'll get back to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, let me read all of, not all of chapter 5, but chapter 5, verses 5 through the end. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through the end. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be controlled, self-controlled, and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. So as I mentioned earlier, there's four points that Peter wants to get across to us. One, that we can handle times of suffering as we humble ourselves through humility. Secondly, as we cast our cares, anxiety on the Lord. Thirdly, as we realize that we're in a spiritual battle. And then fourthly, when we realize who we are in Christ, who God is. So let me go back to my first point about humility. In verse 5, you know, it says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So just interesting how at first he talks about young people being subjecting yourself to those that are older. And then he says, you know, submit yourselves to one another. So there's like no exception. At first, young people to those that are older, but then he talks about submitting yourself to one another. And then Peter goes on to talk about, you know, clothing yourselves with humility. And remember in John chapter 13, when Christ put on the clothing of a servant, he washed the feet of the disciples. And so just remember that imagery of, you know, Jesus putting on the clothing of a servant, washing the feet of the disciples. And then when Jesus finished washing the feet of the disciples, he said, you know, he stated that was an example for them to follow and that they should do likewise. And so I do have a question for us. It's like, what are some ways that we can serve one another this week, that we can humble ourselves and serve one another? And because truly, through humility, we can experience God's grace and blessings. And then further in chapter 5, you know, not chapter, in chapter 5, verse 5, it says two reasons to be humble. First, be humble because God opposes the proud. And the second, God gives grace to the humble. He blesses them. And so humility starts as we look to see who God is and see, looking to him, seeing who he is, and that, which helps us understand who we are. And I want to share a story. In Ukraine, my team and I, we work with volunteers from churches and cities around the country. And for several years now, I've been working with a young guy named Artyom. And Artyom, he has a team of volunteers, and they work with students. And in the fall of 2019, all of a sudden, Artyom was faced with the fact that his team of volunteers, many of them, or most of them, were going to Germany and Norway to pick apples for a month or two, or strawberries. They'd go there because at home it's hard for them to find work. So they would go to Germany and Norway. But at first it's like, what am I going to do? All my team is going. And so basically, Artyom, finally he humbled himself because, like, God, what am I going to do? So he humbled himself and said, you know, God, the ministry is in your hands. And told God, do whatever you want to do. And then, maybe a couple of days after he did that, he went to a cafe. He's going to have a time of discipleship with someone at a cafe. And while he was there, a gal, student age, came up to him, and she had heard about Artyom, and she began to ask him about the student ministry. And as they talked, she decided to take part in the student ministry with him. And then someone else heard about the student ministry and decided to be involved. And so it seemed like once Artyom realized, God, it's all in your hands. I am humbled before you. I can't do anything. That God began to respond and answer his prayers. And then last year, once again, some of his teammates, they were going to Poland, Norway, to pick apples, strawberries. And they were able to do that even in spite of the pandemic and quarantine. And then usually Artyom and his team, in the fall, they would have an English club, and which would take a lot of work. They would do it once a week for about a month and a half. But then Artyom was realizing everyone's leaving. And then maybe in October, not only was there the pandemic, but there was a lockdown because of the quarantine, and students were sitting at home to study from a distance. And so once again, Artyom humbled himself before God. And it's like, God, what do I do? What do I do? And then God gave Artyom and his teammates, even those that were going to Germany and Norway, the idea to continue their team meetings online. And then also God gave them the idea to have a Bible study for non-Christian students. And so they had a Bible study, and they had more people attend the Bible study online than they did in person. And so it was just incredible to see how God responded as Artyom humbled himself and said, God, what do we do? God began to answer his prayers. So, like I said, the first point, to help us through times of suffering, God says, you know, Peter wrote to him, humble yourselves. And then the second point in verse 7 is, cast all your cares, your anxiety on the Lord. Let me read verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I think the two parts of that go very well together. Cast your cares. Why? Because God cares for you. Cast your cares because he cares for you. I want to share a story about a friend that I work with. He lives in eastern Ukraine, actually very close to the war zone. And he's a youth leader of his church. And he also has a stall at an outdoor market where he sells things. And so a year ago in the spring, when the quarantine hit, the government clamped down and made him close his shop and other shops. Only those that were selling food could continue to work. But he'd sell a lot of vegetable seeds in the spring, summer, and then in the winter. winter clothes, socks and stuff like that. But once again, he's like, what am I going to do? He also just got married about 2 months before the quarantine started. And so what am I going to do? And with Alexei and I, we talk about once a week, spend an hour together discussing what we're reading in the Bible. We will share how evangelism is going. We'll share about discipleship and just share what God is teaching us in the Bible and how we can pray for each other. So during these times, Alexei, we would be giving to God all of his anxiety and cares. And then after, somehow, God began to work in spite of the quarantine. And there's a couple young guys and gals at his church, and they began to basically just share the gospel through their natural relationships. And there's a guy named Roma that came to faith in Christ. And then two sisters, Jenya and Lyra, they came to faith in Christ. And they have continued, these three and others that he works with, continued to share the gospel. And now these three, Roma, Jenya, and Lyra, they're not only sharing the gospel, but people are discipling them. And so it seemed like, once again, when Alexei was able to cast his anxiety and cares on the Lord, he began to see God at work. And also, well, a year ago when the quarantine all started, my team and I also, we thought, what do we do? How can we help our students with evangelism and discipleship? And so after a lot of prayer and reflection, God gave us idea of, like, let's do things online, evangelism. And so we had created, in the past we had some seminars where a group of Americans would come over and have leadership seminars at the university. And so this time we thought, well, let's do it online. And so, and by doing it online, students from several cities could participate as opposed to one university. And so with a group of businessmen who used to work like with Procter & Gamble, we did this online seminars with leadership, and we advertised them through Instagram and Facebook. And as we advertised them, students were able to sign up and register. And so for once a week, for 3 weeks in a row, we had these online meetings dealing with leadership. And at the end of each seminar every evening, we'd also do advertising about getting together one-on-one online, because we had created a series of meetings called Who Am I? And in these Who Am I meetings, you could either get together in person or online. And in the first series of meetings, basically looking at some photographs, trying to help people understand themselves better and how people view them. And these materials, they were also put online, so you could do this online, offline. And as we'd look at these pictures, it asked questions like, okay, which picture describes your life right now? And then ask why and listen to them. And it would ask, which picture describes the life you'd like to have in 4 or 5 years and why, and listen to them. And then there would also be later on, pick some picture that describes a relationship where you have joy, happiness, and why, and then a picture that describes conflict. And then it also asks, pick a picture that describes God or your view that there is no God. And so that'd be the first meeting. And then the second meeting, we would go through a DISC test, helping people understand their personality. But as we did that, we tried to help people understand that their personality can result in conflict with people around them, and that conflict, only God can help them figure out how to deal with that conflict. And then the third meeting we went through, it's called Perspective Cards, a series of cards dealing with five categories, looking at the nature of man, nature of God, nature, essence, the source of truth. And so, once again, we could go through these things online or offline. And students were very open. And also with the Who Am I meetings, they were also advertised through Instagram and Facebook. And people were very open. And we had one student, a gal, she signed up for the leadership meetings through the Global Leadership Partners. She participated once a week for 3 weeks in a row. And then after that, she saw that there's advertisement for, we created a online English club that lasted for 1 week. She went through that. And then after she was done with English club, someone invited her to go through the Who Am I meetings. And at the very last one, they gave a presentation of the gospel, and she ended up praying to receive Christ. And now someone is also following her up, going through materials helping her grow. And so, once again, it seemed like just that as, you know, my team and I weighed through all of our cares, anxiety, God, what do we do? God gave us some ideas and blessed those ideas. And but let me also be honest, I think sometimes I still have a lot of area to grow in the, as far as casting my anxieties upon the Lord. And I'll say this can happen. A lot of times I can fall asleep at night, but then later on I wake up during the night thinking about something. And it's like, God, I wasn't even thinking about this before I went to sleep. It's like, I didn't think I'm worrying about this. But so personally, I need to learn how to give things to God before they become issues of anxiety. So the first point that I mentioned, Peter said, okay, to deal with suffering, humble yourself. And the second point was cast your anxieties. And the third point that Peter was giving to them was to remember that Satan is real. You do have an enemy. Let me read verses 5 and 8 of chapter 5. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And as study this passage, it is so important to remember back in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, there the Apostle Paul describes the armor of God for in spiritual battle. And but one of the things I really like here is like, just remember, we are in a spiritual battle. And one of the things that helps also is just remembering, I like verse 9, where it talks about other believers around throughout the world are undergoing the same sufferings. Often when we're going through sufferings, we can feel like, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe God is punishing me. It's like, no. God is not punishing me, not punishing you. But we can feel that way, or we can feel so alone. But it's like Peter was telling them, there are other believers going through suffering also. You're not alone. And when I think about how other believers went through suffering, it's like if we look in Chapter 4 of 1 Peter, verses 1 and 13, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, because he who suffered in his body is done with sin. And then also chapter 4, verse 13, but rejoice, or let me read verse 12 and 13 of 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And so it's so important to remember, I'm not alone. Christ suffered. And he was victorious, rose from the grave, but he suffered in many different ways. So Christ suffered, other believers, so it's, I'm not alone. Christ can understand the suffering I'm going through. And so whether it's health issues or misunderstandings in family, it's like Christ understands those. Other believers are going through them also. And I want to share an example. I came back from Ukraine just about 2.5 weeks ago. And Sasha Zebrev, who's a national country leader, he'd love to be here. He says hi. But as a national country leader, about maybe a month and a half ago, he received a letter. And someone was suing the ministry. Is 5 years ago, we bought two apartments and a building and created a student center. And try to make it understandable. There was someone that's basically a raider-ski attack saying, these are my apartments. And the same person is also trying to take apartments that belong to people, other people in the same apartment building. And, but so at first it's like, Sasha's like, I came on staff. We learned how to share our faith. We learned how to disciple people. We didn't learn what to do when you're under, you know, attack by powerful, business people, through lawyers and those that have money. And, but I'll say, as he began to realize that this Satan is attacking different ways, and also as he shared those burdens with other staff, and also when he realized, okay, we're not alone. They're trying to get apartments from other people in this building. It really helped him to, I'm going to say, be more at peace and rest. But you can pray for Sasha as he leads us through this time of this standing firm against Satan's attack. And then, so like I said, Peter wants us to understand how we can handle suffering as humbling ourselves, abiding in Christ, realizing that we're in a spiritual battle. And fourthly, when we realize who Christ is and who we are in him. Let me read chapter or verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And so, in light of eternity, our glory, our suffering won't last forever. But right now, when we're going through our suffering, it may seem like eternity. But we'll say, in light of eternity, it will be a short time. And so often for life, we need to have an eternal perspective. So we just look at, all right, what's happening right now, the here and now. It's very difficult. And so keeping that eternal perspective. And just remember that God is a God of all grace. And the suffering that we're going through, light of eternity, is short. Let me share with you, there's a guy, Dima, that I mentor. He lives north of Kiev, close to the Russian border. And often we'll talk about the ministry and pray together and ask how it's going, the ministry, how I can help him. And his town is very small, and so he works with just a lot of young people, maybe not students. And but finally this, maybe last winter, he'd shared with me that his wife was pregnant, and so we'd also pray for his wife's pregnancy. And then in the late winter, spring, his wife spent a month in the hospital. I think she would come home at night, or maybe on the weekends, but she spent a month in the hospital with complications from the pregnancy. And but we had still talk about the ministry. And then one time, sometime in maybe late March, when I called him, was going to ask, well, how's your wife? And he told me that she had a miscarriage. And so I told him, let me call you back later. I couldn't talk anymore to him. And I'm going to say, one of the things that God has done in my life, it seems like through suffering, he's taught me to be more empathetic to other people. And years ago, when I lived in eastern Ukraine in Donetsk, I'd go home with a student, and his parents lived in a village, and his dad had become the pastor in the village. I'd go home with him, and before his dad would get up to preach, his dad would already be crying, and I'd always think, how can a person be so emotional? and I'd pray at times, God created me more emotions. And so I think through suffering, God has done that, and which I'm grateful for. And so, like I said, when I was talking with Dima, and he told me that his wife had the miscarriage, I couldn't talk any longer with him. And I called him back in about 20 minutes or so. And but I think for Dima and his wife, they had already realized that God had a bigger plan. And it seemed to impact me more than Dima, but they were able to realize God's overarching plan in this. And so for myself, I'm thankful for how God has been taking me through times of trials and sufferings. And Ukraine, 7 years ago, war started with Russia, and I think that also helped me and the ministry to become more sensitive to people's needs. And then when the coronavirus hit, there's a lot of people, especially a lot of churches, the coronavirus really went through a lot. And let me share with you, Yulia, Sasha's wife, her sister-in-law passed away from coronavirus. She was in the hospital. When she went to the hospital, a few days later, she passed away. But Yulia's brother was left with three small children, 11, 8, and 6 years old. And they live in the occupied territory, so they could not go visit her brother or be at the funeral. And so they were very affected by that and disappointed. So you can pray for Yulia's brother. He's not a Christian, but you can pray for Yulia's brother. His name is Vova. And pray that the church would have wisdom in handling the coronavirus, for just wisdom in how to minister. Also, there's a staff couple that live in the apartment building that I live in. And recently, his staff guy, his father, passed away. And so in Ukraine, it's still a very big issue. And let me give a, if anyone has any questions about the ministry, you could ask. But I came back to Alaska, to the States, on May 22nd, and I will be heading back to Ukraine on I'll leave here the 25th and fly back on the morning of June 26th. And then later this summer, end of August, my teammates and I, we always have a conference for students. We call it Pit Stop, for those that like car racing. We bring our students in for a tune-up and a pit stop and get them ready for the next semester. So we'll have that. And then in this fall, we'll be doing probably online evangelism, continue with online discipleship, just because it looks like in Ukraine, the coronavirus is continuing on. And so it's so nice to be here. A completely different feeling. But we will continue with doing things online, evangelism and discipleship. And then in February, we'll have a big winter project for our students. And you can just pray for wisdom that we'd have knowing how to do evangelism and discipleship with students. And also wisdom for Sasha as he guides and directs the ministry. And I just pray that, as we think about how Peter helped these believers handle suffering, humility, anxiety, that we're in a spiritual battle and understanding who we are in Christ, that can help each one of us deal with suffering. Each one of us is going through different things. And but I just want to encourage us to cast our anxiety on the Lord today. And remember, we're not alone. Christ went through suffering for us. There are others in the body that are suffering. We're not alone. So I want to thank you for your participation in the ministry with us in Ukraine. So appreciate you. Love you. Thank you for your participation. Afterwards, you can talk to me more if you'd like to, or if someone has a question, you could ask a question. If not, maybe I'll ask Ted to pray for time and close our time. But any questions? No? Well, Ted will pray for us.
If I'm on here, okay, good. Thank you, Father, so much for your love and your care that you show us each day, for bringing us together. And thank you for the ministry that John has over in Ukraine. Pray for your continued wisdom and blessings in these times especially, Lord. And just pray that you be with him and take care of him and help his time to hear to be fruitful and safety on his way back. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And back there, there might be some Ukrainian candy or some of the gospel bracelets or prayer ribbons. So, but thank you very much.